It's good to see everybody tonight. My topic is tonight is going to be on choosing to be around with good and encouraging people, and how do we find those kind of people that we can have our friendship with. So let's begin with Psalms chapter 119, verse 63. It says that I am companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep your precepts. So if this psalm was written by David, who did David consider as his friends or companion in this passage? The people who that fear the Lord. Why? Well, what fear the Lord means, well, we all know from Psalms chapter 34, verses 11 to 14, the one who depart from evil, they keep their tongues and lips from speaking guile and evil, and the one who does what is good. So if that's my companion, if that's what David's companion, and who will be my companion as well? Why? Well, because we will be like those who are around us. Like in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, he says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Well, we know what happened to Eve when she was deceived by devil. So devil lied to her, and she believed the lie. When God commanded that they shall not eat the fruit, but she did, because devil convinced her that is good. So God is telling here that we shouldn't lie to ourselves, that evil communication does not corrupt good manners. Well, it does. So, you know, it's easy to be deceived, but we need to understand the people who we are around will impact us. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, he says that he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So if we walk with wise men, what will we be like? But the same thing is true if we are friends with the fools. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 7, he says, whoso keeps the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shames his father. So why does a companion of riotous men shames his father? Since he is like his friends. So how can we have an encouragement in the Lord through our friendship with each other? It depends quite a lot on who we pick to be our friends. We might sometimes feel, you know, this doesn't give me a very many options. You know, that's a good reason to choose the older ones as our companions. Well, why? Well, God warns us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. He says, foolishness is abound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So children are characteristically foolish. So are they generally encouraged to be more wise by being around one another? Not really. If you are friends with the fool, you shall be destroyed. So who do we see Christ choosing to be around as a child? We know from Luke chapter 2 that he is around with the doctors and teachers of the law. So is it a surprise then that they were astonished at his understanding? In 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 18, we see another example of David here. I'm probably stealing one of the lessons from Brother Jan on David. He says here that, so David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. So here's another example of where a young person, a chosen older man, person as his companion. to share the things that Saul has done to him. Why? Because he knows that Samuel has the word of God. He's a prophet, so he can have more encouragement from Samuel because he knows Samuel will give the word of God to David. So why it is important for us to choose wise and faithful men to be around with? You know, we tend to incline more towards those who are our own age, right? But who would encourage us most to be wise? And now it's not always the older ones who are wise. Now, they're generally more likely to be wise, but not always. We know from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13, he says, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. So we cannot pick our friends only based on age. Even if we know the general guidelines, the children typically have foolishness in their hearts. So who should I seek out to be my friend? Well, maybe I should be willing to look outside my own age group if that's required. If my own age group, if I can't find nobody is wise, then we should look for other age groups. So question, even if someone is called a brother and you know they are in church, should we assume that they are automatically the ones we should choose our companions and or friends with? Well, that's a good place to start. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So does that mean that there could be a people in the church who could have a harmful influence on me? Now, God talks about a severe situation in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But it is not always just adultery or fornication that we need to watch out for. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 to 4, he adds more than just fornication here. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So it's not just fornication, but he says all uncleanness that we need to avoid. But also the things like covetousness and foolish talking and jesting that God says should not be once named among us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to be used of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, that's hard sometimes, isn't it? To watch what comes out of our mouths, especially when we are angry. Then we're not in control of the words that we speak. And that's why God says, be slow when you speak. But if when we are around someone that are laughing about corrupt things, what does that make me want to do? What if they are just talking about all kinds of worldly things like Matthew 6 talks about? He says there that what we will eat or drink or wear. You know, is it easy for me to obey the God's command to take no thought for these things that Gentiles seek when I'm with a friend who relates with me well about these things only? So even in the church, we should still consider our friendship very carefully. Does this person encourage me to be more faithful to the Lord? Or does this person encourage me to be focused on the things of this world? So, to be very clear, we're not talking about who are, you know, who we show hospitality to or who we support and encourage. Now, we are commanded in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So we are commanded to entertain strangers. And, you know, also Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. Obviously not just, you know, chumming around, but he was kind to them and showed value to them by taking time to reach out and, you know, to go and to teach them. But was he being, you know, baseball buddies with them in order to teach them? No. So we know that's not how he was trying to relate with them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 says that, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." So here we have a clear command that we are required to be patient toward all men. So what patient means? To endure whatever situation that we are under by these our brethren. So we are required to be patient toward all men. And how do we support the weak? Again, this is a command. So stronger brethren in the church should be involved with the weak in the sense that we are supporting and building them up in Christ's heart and in love. So in Romans chapter 15, verse 1 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Again, a very important command to bear the infirmities of the weak. Can we despise the weak? No. Is that what Jesus did? No. That's what the Jews did, but Jesus was willing to show the value to these souls who are weak. So if I'm following Jesus, what I'm supposed to be doing? So how do we support the weak? How do we build and edify the heart of Christ in the weak brethren? By doing good works for them. Sharing God's words with them. Like in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. You know, it's a command that let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together. So just clarifying that this is not what we are talking about right now. We are not saying we should avoid younger members or weaker members. You know, these are our brethren. And we cannot have the love of Christ without loving, you know, and caring for the weaker ones in the church. So we are talking about those who we should consider our friend, as a person we share our thoughts with, the person who we love to be around, the person we choose to talk when we are sad and when we need something, and so on. So that is the point of this lesson, and a very interesting example of this, and this is what actually made me to think of this lesson, is a point that I read about Solomon and who he chose as his friend. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and in verse 5, 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and in verse 5, so King Solomon was king over all Israel. And these were the princes which he had. Azariah, the son of Zadok, the priest. Okay, in verse 5, he says, "And Azariah, the son of Nathan, was over the officers. And Zabud, the son of Nathan, was principal officer and king's friend." It's interesting, isn't it? The only Nathan that we know of was Nathan the prophet. He was the prophet who had told David that Solomon would be the king, and also he's the one who rebuked David when David was hiding the adultery that he committed with Bathsheba. And also Nathan, the prophet who helped to establish Solomon as the king. So he evidently had at least two sons, and Solomon put them in an important position over his officers. And also, interestingly, you put Zadok, the priest's son, as his prince. But it specifically mentions that one of the sons of Nathan was Solomon's friend. Well, why would Solomon pick son of the prophet to be his friend? Why would he pick Zadok, the priest's son, to be his prince, who he counsel with toward the country's decision and everything? That's what the prince does, right? So why would Solomon put these men in these positions? Why he wants to be around them? Think about the kind of friends that David taught Solomon to have. And from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. And there are specific commands that David gave Solomon to who to choose to be your friend. We're not going to read all these passages, but if you read the whole Proverbs, you see a lot of warnings and teachings concerning who should be your friend. For example, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. In same chapter in verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, refine thy foot from their paths. And in same book, chapter 22, Proverbs, verses 24 and 25, he says, make no friendship with an angry man and with a furious man, that thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. And then in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, he that walks with the wise men shall be wise. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, he says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. And there's so many other scriptures in Proverbs that talks about specifically who Solomon wanted to be friends with and who David is teaching Solomon to choose his friendship with. So based on these verses, you know, what kind of person that had Solomon learned to choose for his friend? Well, what does that tell us about Nathan's sons? You know, and Zadok, the priest's son. Isn't that what we would expect from son of a prophet like Nathan? And it's interesting that David seemed to have a great value for Nathan as a prophet. One of the sons of David was named Nathan, right? So we don't know why for sure that he picked that name for his son, but could it be that Nathan was close to David? It's possible. And who was David encouraging Solomon to have his friends? And this is something very sweet and encouraging that I never really noticed before. Who Solomon chose to be his friends and who he wanted to be around with is prophets and the priests, his children. So how can I be more wise, more discerning, and how can I be the kind of friend that encourages others to be more wise and to love God more? You know, when Solomon went in backwards, he married about 1,000 women. You know, those people made him to fall into idol worship. Do you think that kind of influence he got from these people, like Zadok's priest's son or the prophet's son? Probably not. But opposite, right? It could have been an encouragement to be more wise, to be more faithful. In comparing this with ourselves, often we pick our friendship for the most enjoyable people to, whoever is most enjoyable, those are the people we pick as our friendship with. The one who makes us laugh, the one we share common interest with, or the ones who are easy to relate with, or the ones who makes us feel good. But what happens when you pick an older man as your friend? Well, you're going to get a lot of rebuke, don't you? So we don't like to be around with a wise man. Why? Because you're going to get a lot of condemnation. So who is the spiritually strongest, wisest person you know? Right? Who would you consider them your best friend? Would we consider the most wise person that we know, our strongest person we know spiritually, to be our friend? Sadly, maybe I cannot find in my age group, but what about my parents? Are they not spiritually strong or wise? Can they be my friend? Or what about my siblings who are faithful, who are sincere to serve God? So if we are picking the friends based on the wisdom, based on the faithfulness and qualities of God, it doesn't matter who they are, we can relate with them and be trying to be close with them. So we could also consider the example of Jesus. So Jesus considered the apostles as his friends. In John chapter 15, verse 15, he says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So in what way were Jesus' friends? Now, Jesus shared all the things that he heard from the Father. But we see he had three special apostles who he took with him the most often, right? Peter, James, John. You know, such as, you know, Transfiguration in Matthew 17, nobody knows beside Peter, James, and John. Or in the room with him that he raised Jairus' daughter. He picked James and John and Peter. Why? Or even in the place where, in the garden when he prayed, he picked these three men to be around him. And, you know, when he's about to die on the cross, he picked John the apostle to take care of his mother. So it's not that the other apostles weren't special. No, these were very special men. The 12 men are special beside Judas Iscariot. And these 11 men were special men, you know, above almost all the other children of Israel. But evidently, there was some reason that Jesus often picked these three above the others. Why? Are they more faithful than the others? Are they more zealous than the others? So then, you know, there was one who the apostles knew as the one Jesus loved. Why? Well, John 15 verse 14 says, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." So this is the verse right before verse 15. So this is, so evidently if Jesus called them his friends, they were doing all the commandments. So sometimes, you know, we hesitate to be friends with people who challenge us spiritually, isn't it? We naturally compare ourselves with each other, which we shouldn't. Our measure is Christ, from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. But unfortunately, and naturally, we compare ourselves with each other. But when we compare ourselves to each other, you know, sometimes we feel, you know, condemned by the good that someone is doing. For example, Jesus' brethren, physical brethren, in John chapter 7, verse 7. You know, the world cannot hate you. In the context, he's talking to his siblings. But me, it hates. Why? Because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. When Jesus was being more than a regular Jew, his brothers felt the condemnation. We might feel rebuked by the example of a zealous person, even when they are not rebuking us. It is people's normal tendency to reject those who are teaching or living more than what we are already doing, because we naturally feel condemned if we compare ourselves and we are not doing what someone else is doing. So when we compare to each other, of course we feel discouraged. But that's why we clearly commanded, we need to compare ourselves with Jesus alone. So it's natural that it's a temptation that these are, you know, when we compare ourselves, we don't like to be around them. Why? Because we feel condemned. Does Jesus' brethren like to be around with Jesus? No, they ask him to go to Jerusalem. And they know they are trying to kill Jesus in Jerusalem. But yet, his brethren asked him to go to be famous. If you want to be famous, go to Jerusalem. So did the brethren hate Jesus? Do they like Jesus? Why not? Because he's more than being just a regular Jew. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, he talks about those who are despisers of those who are good. Why would we ever despise someone who is good? But it's actually easier than we think to fall into that, right? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." So if I'm not doing something that someone else is not doing, it makes me feel uncomfortable, like they are judging me, right? Even without them saying anything. Or why don't people like it, you know, when they go out and drink, like in the work or school? Mostly, that's how people like to get close with each other, by taking them out to drink. And you won't drink. Will they pick you to be their buddy or to be the one to close with? Probably not. Why? Because they feel condemned if you don't drink. But God encourages us to seek wise friends among ourselves. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Isn't this a command? Who we should mark, who we should follow and be with? The one who follows the example of Paul. What is Paul's example? The follower of Christ. So he's following Christ. Paul's asking to mark them also who follows Christ and his example. In Psalms chapter 141, Psalms 141 verse 5, he says, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer shall be in their calamities." So we shouldn't even mind, you know, when they rebuke us. We needed that. It is a kindness. When they reprove us, it should be an excellent oil. It's another encouraging passage that kind of very motivating is from Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. He says, "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name." So who is God writing the names of the people in his book of remembrance? He says, "They that fear the Lord spake often one to the other." So when we have a conversation with each other, if you're not talking about the Lord, and if you are talking something else, does Lord hearken to that? If he's not, is he writing our names in the book of remembrance? Why is not? Because it shows that we don't fear him. We don't have the fear of the Lord. Also that we didn't think about it. Think about his name. In verse 17 he says, "And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Can I be spared if I don't talk about the Lord? Can I be spared if I don't think about the Lord and his name?" In verse 18, "Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God, him that serves him not." Is it a service to God when we talk about God, our fear of the Lord, with each other? Well, we already saw about what's the fear of the Lord from Psalms chapter 34, speaking about God's goodness, how good he is, all the qualities of good and, you know, love. You know, when I talk about the magnificence of how great my God is with each other, if that he is the center of our conversation, can that be of a service to God? Does Lord remember that service? How are you distinguishing between the righteous and the wicked, and the one who serves and the one who not serves him? By how we talk to each other, how we think about what we think about the Lord in our hearts. So if we love God, then that's what we most talk about. And if we do, that's a service to him. But can I talk to this a fool? If my friend is a fool, can I get any, you know, encouragement from him? But we should teach him for sure. But if I pick a son, if I pick like friends like Solomon, who to be around as his prince and his friend, can I get more encouragement from speaking about the Lord and think about the Lord? If my friend is thinking about the Lord, then what should be what I would be doing? You know, it kind of encourages me to think like him, right? Yes, it's true that evil communication corrupts good manner, but also remember the passage we read to begin with. If I'm companioning with the one that fear the Lord, then I can learn God's precepts. So why we should be choose a friendship to the people who wanting to talk about the Lord or who fear the God? Because we can learn to be more wise, and we can learn more of God's precepts. There are more other passages, like we can see more examples like this, like for 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. He's talking about the household of Stephanus. He's encouraging the Corinthians in verse 16 that they that he submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helps with us and labors. So he's talking about the house of Stephanus in Corinth, and he's telling them to the other Corinthians to submit. The word for submit is to arrange under yourselves with who? With the household of Stephanus. Why? Because they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So if I see an example in the church, God says to mark them because they are faithful, they are sincere in serving God, and I should arrange myself under such. In Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, we see here the example of Sister Phoebe. That, you know, Paul is encouraging the Romans to receive her because she's in such a help and in assisting Paul. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, here we see another example reason why we should pick our friendship based on the wisdom or based on the fear of the Lord. He says, "Iron sharps. Sharps iron, so a man sharps the countenance of his friend." What happens when I pick my friend as Jezebel? You think I'll be sharp as iron, or I'll be more evil like Ahab? Why Ahab was so evil? Because of his wife. So if I pick my friends and one to be I'm going to be close with, if they're not going to shape my countenance in God's ways or in God's goodness, is that a friendship that God really appreciates? In Titus chapter 1 verse 7, he says, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, now not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, and a lover of a good man, sober, just, holy temper." So why would God instruct an elder must be someone who loves good men? Because that is important, isn't it? What if we love being around men who are not good men? By God's definition. That shows the problem, doesn't it? Why is it important that elders have a good man who he loves? So we need to pick our friendship based on how I can be more encouraged by being around this person. If I'm going to be encouraged to serve God, sure, they're going to be my friend. Or if my friend is going to be helping me to love this world and focus on things of this world, what's going to happen to me? I don't want to deceive myself by saying, "Oh, it's not going to happen to me." But what God warns us, well, any kind of evil communication curbs good manner. So if we pick a friend like Solomon, like the one who are faithful, and like David who picked Samuel to be the one to talk to him, what all Saul has done, because he knows Samuel has God's words, so that's what we should be looking for when we have a need. Who should be our friend? So when we're evaluating our friends, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "But exhort one another daily." So what should be asking questions? Do they exhort me? What do I think about more when I'm around this person? What do I talk about more when I'm around this person? Am I able to talk about Malachi chapter 3, 16, "Fear the Lord"? What do I talk about more instead when I'm around them? Or what do I want to be more like when I'm around them? What choices I'm encouraged to make when I'm around them? So what kind of friends should we seek? And what kind of friends should we be? Now be that kind of an encouragement. It says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Can I be encouraged by my friend? Well, it depends on who I pick. Can it be a sweetness to my heart? Again, depends on the friend. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So, you know, it's interesting that Jesus had apostles, right? And among the apostles, 12 apostles, those includes his physical brethren, physical siblings from Joseph and Mary. But he didn't pick them to be the one to take, take away from everybody else. He picked John, Peter, and James. Why? This verse is true. There's a friend that's stick closer than a brother. So do we pick our friends for common interest, or easy to relate, or makes us enjoy ourselves? Or should we pick our friends based on how can we have encouragement from our Lord through our friends or through each other? But it largely depends on who our surrounding and friends are. Like we read from Psalms 119, verse 63. I'm companion of them that fear thee and of them that keep your precepts. Can I choose my friend based on who's righteous, based on who's faithful, based on who's zealous, based on who's sincere to the Lord? If I pick them to be my friend and to be the one I'm going to be close with, then I can be encouraged in the Lord by them. They can sharpen my countenance before the Lord. And we can have complete the heart of Christ together in us. That's all I got for tonight. Hopefully this is an encouragement of everyone that who we should appreciate in our congregation. We need to consider everybody and who can we be? Who can be my friend, and how can we encourage each other in the Lord? It's an invitation. If you are subjected to the gospel and wanting to obey Christ and follow His example and be His disciple, at this time, please come forward as we stand together and sing.